My name is Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormany in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 14th of September 2009 and the time is 4:30 p.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
I'm Albert Anglo. I am 65 years old and I come from Twickenham. I'm quite relaxed about it, actually. I'm singing and playing the guitar, and I do that quite a lot in public. I work as a street entertainer. I was a teacher for a number of years, a science teacher for 10 years. And then I got a couple of contracts to write some books. Still writing them. On electromagnetic pollution, people living near power lines and things like that. But at the moment, I am bringing together all of my musical interests that I've had throughout my life as a hobby. I'm trying to turn it into, I'm trying to become professional, in other words, and I'm already semi-professional, I think you describe it. I've just finished recording an album called Mystery Train, which you will find on www.mysterytrain.info. You'll find plenty of information there. You can listen to 30 seconds of each of the tracks. You could even buy the album. It's taken me 11 months to record this album, and I used a professional studio in North London called Gadget Studios. Very, very good producer there. Called Dennis Gadgetic from the Balkans. And the songs about romance, relationships, travelling, broadly in the rock and roll kind of genre, but a few tracks that, at least one track that you will never heard a song like it before, called Dear Dr. La Vista. It's the last one, 7 minutes long. It's the kind of finale of the album. The album has got me singing with session men, people who are playing the drums, lead guitar, keyboards. It's not just me and the guitar, it's a full band behind me. Very expensive. It's taken me about £4,000, which is cheap. And I've had them manufactured, a complete one-man show. And I'm selling them, promoting them, marketing them on the internet through my website. This is a golden opportunity for me to have a bit of publicity for my Mystery Train album. I've played guitar since I was 15 years old, influenced by Buddy Holly and Eddie Cochran. You've probably never heard of Eddie Cochran. Unusual. Most people your age haven't. I've got the guitar with me that I'm going to use on the plinth, and on it I've stuck photographs of all of my musical influences: Bob Dylan, Buddy Holly, Eddie Cochran, Elvis Presley, Roy Orbison, Billy Fury, The Velvet Underground, Mark Knopfler, Bob Dylan, The Crickets, Chuck Berry. And these are the people who have influenced me, my style. And that's it. Where I am at the moment is musically trying to broaden my horizons.
And your album and taking this move into becoming a professional, are you running this all yourself?
Yes, I'm totally independent. You know, I think I'll be the archetypal indie performer. Obviously, the way that music is marketed has changed so much from when I first started with vinyl singles and LPs, as they were called, and albums. And now you can buy a track for 78 pence and download it on an MP3 on the website with a global audience, a global market. So I'm hoping that I can at least get my money back. That's my main aim at the moment, is try and get my money back. And get known.
How will you be releasing your album? Will you be taking advantage of these ways?
Well, I've already got the facility for an MP3 download. People can buy individual tracks. from the website, or they can order it through a post office box. I've given away, I've got about 1,000 stacked up in my front hall in boxes, and I've given away about 500 as a promotional thing. I've sold about 300. One I exchanged for a taxi ride. I got talking to the guy, he was interested in music. I told him what I did, and I'm selling them for £8, and the taxi ride came, and he took one of my albums instead of paying him. That was my first sale, in inverted commas. That's where I am with the album.
And what made you decide to try and follow this as a professional?
Well, it seems a waste. I think when you, throughout your life, most people's lives, you pick up a lot of specialised information that you don't really use, or you use it as a hobby. And when you reach, when you get older, all this information accumulates, and it just kind of begs to be used in some way. I had a group in the 60s called the Further Adventures of the Psychedelic Sandwich Company, and we played such mighty venues as Brian's front, Mum's front room, and the local park. And so over the years, people, I think, gather specialist information, and then they do something with it. And this musical thing, and I've had a bit of money as well, so I've got 10 guitars, and you know, I'm kind of launching this myself, and it does need money, and I've been able to do that. So this is why it's accumulated over the years. I've always played the guitar, I've always listened to modern music, and it's kind of begs to be used, all this specialist skills.
And how do you balance it with writing the books that you're writing?
The books are a scientific kind of thing, and they're very slow. It's rather like doing a PhD, you know, it'll never be finished, really. I've got a lot of material I've come back to London after living on the Isle of Wight for 5 years. In 2003, my wife and I went our separate ways. We sold the house, and she took the car, and I left London, went and lived on the Isle of Wight. It's a big guitar scene there, and lots of burnt out 60s people from thing like the Pretty Things, and the Jimi Hendrix Experience, and groups have bygone. The people are still around. They're still playing guitar. The Isle of Wight seems to be a mecca for these sorts of people. And I've forgotten what the question was that you asked originally.
How do you fit in both?
Oh, I see. The music dominates at the moment. The rest, the scientific thing is kind of a past project. It's become kind of redundant. I've sort of got so far with it. But it's far more interesting. Music is far more interesting.
And did you enjoy your teaching when you did that? Or did you leave teaching to become a professional?
No. I kind of left teaching because I sort of did all my ideas. After 10 years, I could have got a bit burnt out, really. And I found the sorts of people that I was mixing with, the other teachers, kind of limited, really. That the staff room conversations revolving around where the stockroom key is or something like this, I just suddenly felt that it wasn't me anymore. And the national curriculum came in as well, and I just had my fill of kids. I got fed up of being around immature minds, and I needed, and I became a training officer for the long-term unemployed. So I was kind of training adults for a while, for a year. That was a past me. This is my present persona. You know, this persona, Albert Anglo, the musician, the rock and roller, a lot of it is theatre, a lot of it is image, and I'm very, very, very aware of that, is the dominant thing at the moment, and I can't see it changing. It's me now.
Has it been a positive change for you?
Oh, absolutely. This thing, I mean, learning to play the guitar and being able to play the guitar has kind of supported me mentally in all times, all sorts of tough times. You know, you can go out and play the blues, and that's what the blues were originally devised for, to take your troubles and put them in a musical form, and that way you've got them beaten. You can externalize them, you can express them to a certain extent. I don't know how I would have managed a lot of Thrilled Mice if I hadn't been able to play the guitar. I think everybody should be forced to learn to play the guitar, because it'll hold them in good stead throughout their life. It's also a kind of brotherhood, sisterhood thing. Other people playing the guitars, you see one, somebody carrying one on the tube or something, and there's a kind of nod of recognition. Yeah, it's a very broad thing at the moment. Very live thing at the moment.
So can you tell us exactly how you'll spend the hour on the flute that you're playing for your album?
No, I'm going to start off with a few rock and roll numbers. There's one called What Did I Say by Ray Charles. That has a very distinctive riff. And I'm going to play that and a few Eddie Cochran numbers and a Chuck Berry number. And then I'm going to announce that I've just finished recording an album and give out the information on that. And then I'll do some of my songs. The Mystery Train is the title track. I'll do Mystery Train. I've got a repertoire of songs that I do when I go busking. I've got my own music booklet with all the chords and music in. And lyrics, although I know a lot of the lyrics off by heart of my own songs, of course. So that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to go up there and turn the amplifiers up and just give them a bit of rock and roll, a bit of entertainment. People go up there and they don't do very much often, or what they do seems kind of mediocre in a way. I want to take the street entertainer Albert Anglo and just take it up to another level, like 40 feet up on a plinth.
When you go busking, do you enjoy doing that?
Yes. Each time that you busk is different, depending on where you are and what spot you've got and what the weather's like. But overall, the crowds at Portobello are very, very receptive. They want to have their photo taken with me. They don't ask my permission, they just kind of arrive and put their arms around me, and I'm in the middle of a song, and they take the thing, and videos as well. I've been videoed. So my image is in countless holiday snapshot booklets around the world. Venezuela, America, Canada, Europe. I'm in their holiday snaps, whether that'll do me any good. Because I wear a kind of silly top hat as well when I busk, with Albert Anglo Sings on it, written on it. So I hope that's some kind of promotional thing. I do enjoy it quite a lot. It's a great kind of colourful kind of input towards the public. It's, you bring out another side of the public that you don't usually see, this kind of interest in music and how music affects people, you know. It affects the sort of right lobes of the brain. I looked up where music affects people in terms of the mental processes, and just a matter of interest, you know. It doesn't matter which part of the brain it is. It does influence people, and it changes moods. It changes people's moods. It's a great therapeutic thing, very therapeutic. Yes, well, it's rather like a sort of Simon Cowell question on The X Factor, you know, what do you want? Well, I'd like to have a million seller on my album, Mystery Train, and do a global tour with a band that comes round with me. Ideally, live the kind of rock and roll star. That's all. But I'll be happy if I can entertain a few people for an hour. And give my promotional copies of my album out. I'm very realistic that it is so difficult to get known, especially when you're 65 years old, slightly overweight, you know, not one of the kind of ideal youngsters that are promoted, like Lady Gaga, who I like very much, actually. I'm not a it's a very worst time to bring out an album when the economy is so down. So I'm hoping on the plinth I can actually get some sort of exposure, because the one and other website is obviously exposed to a global audience on the internet. So I'm hoping I can go global in the next hour.
And when you heard about the project, what is it that made you want to take part? Did you always know that you'd use it as a platform?
Yes, I'd come along and I'd seen other people on the plinth and I thought, I can do better than that. Not particularly any idea of promoting my album. That's just a coincidence, but just being able to do something that would entertain people. It's actually the connection with people that's the buzz, you know. I mean, even if your music isn't any good, it's your repartee. It's actually getting some connection with the audience. And it's that you're aiming for, is some kind of connection that most performers don't realize. I mean, they go through their whether they're comedians or other, and they don't realize that really all you have to do is make some kind of connection, emotional connection, even if you're playing some stupid song that they've asked you to play. I did 1,000 Housewives every day, pick up a can of beans and plays, or something like that. Beans, means, Heinz, twang, you know, something stupid like that. And I mean, obviously commercially it's rubbish, but it actually created a connection with the audience, you know. So I hope I can, I don't know, this is an unknown. This is totally unknown, you know. What's going to happen? Probably nothing. I'll appear on the one another website, and that's about it, I think. I don't think it's going to be much further than that, but you never know.
And personally, what would you like to gain from the experience? I'd
like to be able to be recognised. I'd like to have my name as part of the group of people who are making modern music. That there are so many people doing it now. That's another reason. There's like a blizzard of people who are playing their music and trying to get known. And I'd like to be able to get my name recognized publicly. A little bit of fame from this, perhaps. But I don't have any huge hopes, you know. It's an hour. It'll come and go, and the world will carry on. Mainly my music, writing the music, writing the songs, songwriting. They are it's the kind of pointed end of my musical ambitions. Writing the songs, I have a great capability for language. And I can write songs that are quite complex, too complex sometimes. It's the songwriting. And being able to get my songs out to the public. I mean, it's nothing very revolutionary, just what most people want when they go into music.
Wonderful. Well, we must let you go.
Okay, thanks.